In the book of Revelation, John says, this is from Revelation chapter 7, I looked and there before me was a great multitude that no one could count, from every nation, tribe, people and language standing before the throne and before the Lamb. They were wearing white robes and were holding palm branches in their hands. Pastor Kate is in the Middle East at the moment. We have a number of missionaries that we support around the globe. And last week, Carly Cassidy from GMP shared with us some of the ways that God is at work around our world. People from every tribe and tongue will share together for eternity in God's glorious presence. Can you picture yourself there with people from another nation, another tribe, another tongue, another colour, another ethnic group, sitting next to them, praising God? This is how the church began on the day of Pentecost. The Holy Spirit sharing the gospel with people from numerous countries. It had been 7 weeks since Passover, since Jesus had died, and here was another festival on the Jewish calendar. This was the Feast of Weeks, and it marked the conclusion of the barley harvest and the beginning of the wheat harvest. In effect, it was a harvest Thanksgiving festival called the Festival of Weeks. This was one of three pilgrimage festivals that people made to Jerusalem in order to appear before the Lord with gifts and offerings. Today, we come every Sunday to gather together to offer him our worship and our praise. It's not just a three times a year event. Every Sunday we have this opportunity. But on this historic day of Pentecost, 10 days after Jesus' ascension and 50 days after his death, heaven touched earth like never before. There was a rushing mighty wind and the Holy Spirit fell upon the 11 apostles and they began to speak in other languages as the Spirit gave them utterance. Those present, we're told the Parthians, Medes, Elamites, those dwelling in Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya adjoining Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and Gentiles, Cretans and Arabs, all heard these 11 speaking the wonderful works of God in their own language. This occasion marked the birthday and the launch of the church. These were ordinary men with little education and given the ability to speak in foreign languages. Some people thought that they were drunk. It was only 9 o'clock in the morning. Whilst others clearly heard them speak in their own native tongue and understood what they were saying. And it was Peter who began to preach. For this was the fulfilment of another prophecy from the prophet of Joel some 800 years prior to this occurring. 800 years earlier, Joel had said these words, where he says, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your old men will dream dreams. Your young men will see visions. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days. And so there is no distinction. Both men and women are servants. and both sons and daughters receive the same Holy Spirit. There is no distinction. This universal blessing and empowering presence of God's Spirit is for all of us, for all believers. And so it begins with these 11 disciples. Peter's message then focused on a number of other prophecies that centred on Jesus of Nazareth. And although Peter's message is addressed to the men in the crowd, this is because it was the men who had crucified Jesus. So from verse 22, Acts 2. Men of Israel, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders and signs which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know. This man was handed over to you by God's deliberate plan and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. And Peter then referred to other prophecies about Jesus, concluding his message with these words from verse 36. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah. And when the people, all Israel, both men and women, heard this, they were cut to the heart. And they asked Peter, what could they do to right their wrongs? And Peter said, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you too will receive the Holy Spirit. And around 3,000 people were saved that day. What a day! What a miraculous day. What a birthday. The church was born. Do you remember your birthday? Do you remember your birthday when you moved from death to life? When Jesus forgave you of your sin and you were baptized? Do you remember that birthday? You see, Peter's words apply to us today just as they did on the day of Pentecost. Your sin, with the help of wicked men, put Jesus to death on the cross. Are you aware that your sin and mine put Jesus on the cross? You are responsible as much as I am responsible for Jesus being killed. Don't we therefore deserve the death penalty? However, God raised him from the dead because death has no hold over him. And God continues to forgive us as we confess our sin and we turn away from it. The Holy Spirit was given on the day of Pentecost because Jesus was alive, and he is alive, and life was now available to all who would believe. Subsequently, we can face tomorrow without fear, for all fear is gone. We no longer fear death. And because he lives, we don't have to worry about the future. We don't need to endure sleepless nights in worry. We don't have to give up or give in because he lives. We know his presence, his peace, his comfort, his guidance. The Holy Spirit lives within us. Praise God. And Peter's message was centred on the fact that Jesus' death on the cross paid the price for our sin, and if we believe that, then we too will spend eternity in glory with him. And Peter called on the people to believe and serve, to save themselves from their perverse generation. Do you believe that Jesus died to save you from your sin? because we too live in a perverse generation. A world wallowing in sin and degradation. Our world deviates from God's plan and blessed way of living. Our world rebels against God, rebels against his ways. Our world is a sin-filled, chaotic world that is bent on arrogance, and without Christ it is destined for destruction. We live in a perverse generation. Well, 3,000 people that day heard the message and gladly responded to Peter's words and petitions under the prompting of the Holy Spirit. They gladly responded. And perhaps today you sense God's call and his offer for forgiveness if you too will repent. And as you read these words, they accepted the message, Peter's words. The Greek word to accept means to welcome, approve, and receive gladly. To welcome, approve, and receive gladly. And thus, 3,000 people gladly received Peter's message, knowing that they were responsible for Jesus' death on the cross. But that they would be forgiven was good news indeed. And so they gladly received, in a sense, this reprimand, but this offer for forgiveness. And God offers to forgive us too. And so everyday life now began to change for these new believers. These 3,000 or so, we come to our reading, devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles, and all the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. These people were more than happy to belong to this new thing called the Way. According to Acts 9:2, this was called the Way. The ecclesia, the gathering together of Jesus' people, Jesus' followers. People today are happy to be a member of the Rotary Club, the Footy Club, the Neighbourhood Watch Centre, Bowls, Croquet, Caravan Clubs. There's all kinds of clubs. People are happy to be a part of these clubs. I'm glad to be a member of the Church of Christ. And I don't just mean Toowoomba North Church of Christ, but the church universal that is made up of Jesus' followers, called out ones. We are called out from the world and to live differently to the world. The church isn't a building, but the gathering of God's children. And Jesus said in Matthew 16:18 that he would build his church. He is building his family. He's continuing to build his family. But as a member of his church, we have access to divine blessings. I encourage you to read Romans 8. Go home and read Romans 8 this afternoon. Outline some of these blessings that are ours. And some of these are this. We are free from God's condemnation. We're indwelt by God's own Spirit. We're adopted into his family as his sons and daughters. We're destined for resurrection and glory. And we are full of hope, because of God's love for us and because of his promises to bring good to us in every circumstances of life. So again, I encourage you to go home and read Romans 8 and think of all of the blessings that we have. We have peace and we have joy and we have eternal life. We are in such a privileged position. But notice here that all the believers were together. They ate together, they helped one another out where they could, they devoted themselves to the fellowship that is, to one another, and to the apostles' teaching, the breaking of bread, and to prayer. And as you continue to read through the book of Acts, you'll see it time and time again that they're together. They assembled together. And when they did, the place was shaken and they were filled with the Holy Spirit, Acts 4. They assembled in Antioch for a whole year and taught many people the way of the Lord. And due to their love for one another and living with one another, the disciples were first called Christians in Antioch. And they assembled together in one accord and in order to solve spiritual problems. You'll just see it time and time again. They are together. They kept meeting together. And this is what the early Church of Christ looked like in the beginning. And this remains within our DNA. It's a part of who we are. For our gathering together is a blessing. It's not a burden. Our fellowship together is a gift. It's not a hardship. Our breaking of bread together is worship. It's not tedious or boring. Our prayers are a privilege. It's not a yoke out of a sense of duty. Our gathering together is an encouragement. It's not an inconvenience. And so let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds, not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. See the day approaching. The early church was also defined by joy. They were meeting together, but they were also joyful. A true joy that had its foundations in the Lord and who he is and his love for them, his love for us. He's the focus and not our circumstances or our preferences. As Isaiah wrote, and we shared this verse last week from Isaiah 61 verse 10, Isaiah said, "I delight greatly in the Lord and my soul rejoices in my God." His delight, his joy was in God. And we see this in the early church from verse 46. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and they ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favour of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. The word glad is used a number of times throughout the book of Acts. And it means to be full of joy, exalting God for his goodness. It's not just being happy, but the joy is because of who God is and what he's doing. Full of joy because they're exalting God for his goodness. As they broke bread and they ate together, their focus was on praising God. I wonder when you meet with other Christians, what do you tend to talk about most? Problems at work, politics, health concerns or medical treatment, difficulties in church or school or sport or world events? Or are we with joyful hearts exalting God? Focused on God and what he's doing. These were a glad people, glad to have received the gospel and glad to share it. You see, again, as you continue to read through the book of Acts, we see that the apostles, they rejoiced that they were counted worthy of suffering shame for his name. They felt it a joy to suffer for Jesus' name. There was great joy in Samaria when Philip preached Christ to the people. The Ethiopian went on his way rejoicing when Philip baptized him. Barnabas was glad when he saw the grace of God saving Gentiles in Antioch. Gentiles were glad when they heard the word of the Lord, and they were filled with gladness. Acts 14, verse 17. The list goes on and on and on as you continue to read through the book of Acts. How glad, joyful, rejoicing they were. The early church was a glad church. It was defined by a joy that had its foundation in God and his goodness. They were praising God because they'd come into salvation. They were celebrating the gifts and the goodness of God, and they were exalting God. They were lifting God up. They were declaring the goodness of God before one another and others around them. They're celebrating the gifts and goodness of God. And the church was growing. They had favour with their communities, within their communities as a result, because they were exalting God. I'm glad to be a part of God's church. Are you? Are you glad to be a part of God's church? Another question. Are you a part of God's church? I hope so. For this is where we find love and joy and peace and patience, faithfulness, gentleness, goodness, and self-control. This is where we find the fruit of the Holy Spirit. This is where we are encouraged and built up. This is where we worship God together, and this is where we have opportunity to care for one another and use the gifts that God has given to us. This is where we remember and appreciate the gospel of Jesus Christ, and we exalt him. May we continue to find all our joy in Christ, and may we continue to exalt him wherever he has placed us. Let's pray. Our loving Heavenly Father, again we thank you for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Thank you that Jesus died on the cross to save us from our sin. And thank you for the gift of your Holy Spirit, and that you continue to work within us to produce the fruit of your Spirit, love and joy and peace and patience, etc. And Father, we thank you for a hope that we have, a hope that we look forward to the day when we will be in your presence, and we will be in the presence of those from every tribe and tongue and nation, every ethnic group. What a wondrous day that will be. Father, help us to exalt you in our daily lives, and we pray that as a result you will build your church for your glory. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.